What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And right about now, Donald Trump should be starting his press conference. Okay, Brett Baer just came on Fox News, and he's got the little ash mark on his forehead. It is Ash Wednesday, and that's where Claire has gone to. A little bit of details here on the Milwaukee shooting. They're calling it one of the worst shootings in Wisconsin history. Six people are dead, and the shooter also died. And the police are currently sweeping the campus of Molson Coors. All righty, let's see now. Getting on back to the news here. So we were talking about this story. Every journalist should feel a cold, icy hand running down their spine. Because if Julian Assange, being a publisher, is put in prison for being a publisher for no other reason than being a publisher, then there are no rules protecting the media, corporate or otherwise. And it's rather ironic that today's thought for the day at the top of whatreallyhappened.com is when you hear a tyrant talking against the free press, you are dealing with a tyrant. So, anyway, Julian Assange is being prosecuted for revealing human rights violations. This is coming from the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Nils Melzer. And he discusses the threat Assange's persecution poses to press freedom, why the corporate media is slowly starting to support the WikiLeaks founder, the allegations Assange faced in Sweden, government not cooperating with him despite his UN mandate, and more. I hope the British court does not extradite him. I think they probably will. And he's not going to get a fair trial in this country. They want to make an example out of him. Okay, let's talk about Harvey Weinstein. Because I still think he's going to try and get out of jail. And along that line, I love this headline. This is from the Daily Mail. Prison officials fear Harvey Weinstein may try to kill himself like Jeffrey Epstein, and they could house him in a private section of Rikers Island with round-the-clock surveillance. Well, they sort of kind of had that on Epstein, and Epstein still did something. We're not exactly sure what. So is Weinstein going to fake his own death, fake a suicide, and then he and Epstein will spend the rest of their retirement in the Cayman Islands chasing girls and playing checkers? It's amazing. Okay. Hillary Clinton, of course, is facing a little bit of heat because she accepted donations from Harvey Weinstein. And it's not, we don't know for a fact that she knew what Weinstein was doing back when she got the donations. But Hillary Clinton's defense was everyone got money from Weinstein, not just hers, but went on to say it's time for an accounting at his rape trial. All right, so it's time to talk about the coronavirus, COVID-19. Now they're calling it the Wu flu, as in Wuhan flu. Wu flu. I like that. Sounds like a dog.
Wu flu.
Apparently, infections have now popped up in Germany, Switzerland, Croatia, Iraq, Spain, Algeria, Austria, and Brazil. The one in Brazil has finally been confirmed. At first, they said it was suspected. Cases are exploding in Italy by 45% in just one day. So in the past 36 hours or so, the coronavirus spread has now been confirmed in a slew of new countries. And already confirmed in Belgium, Lebanon, Finland, Sweden, Egypt, Sri Lanka, Israel, Cambodia, Nepal, Afghanistan, Russia, many other countries. So now it's down there in South America. And it's very frustrating that Johns Hopkins has now shut off public access to that incident map. And we're still not getting a lot of information. Somebody did send me a breakdown of deaths according to age, and it is hitting the elderly much harder than other people. The elderly, if you're above the age of, I think it said 70, again, it really does hit the elderly very, very hard, and I think it was something like 16, 17%. All right, the CDC came out earlier today and said that a Wu flu outbreak is now inevitable in the United States of America, and Americans should prepare for disruptions. And they say it's a question of when and not if. So now they're saying be prepared for the disruptions. Now, the good news coming out of China, and it's not being reported, is that infections there have plateaued. It is no longer growing exponentially, proving that China's system of quarantine seems to be working. And Tedros Adhanom, Director General of the World Health Organization, came on out and said, "We're encouraged by the continued decline in cases in China. They found that the epidemic peaked and plateaued between the 23rd of January and the 2nd of February, and it's been declining steadily ever since." And that's good news, if it's correct, not sure, and not just for China. With no preparation and relatively primitive public health networks compared to those of developed nations, the epidemic stabilized in roughly 4 weeks, probably due to China's fast and large quarantines. And that's good news because other nations are relying on quarantines to contain the infection. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, the White House has unveiled a $2.5 billion emergency coronavirus plan, and I know compared to military spending, that doesn't seem like a lot, but at least it's a start. And the White House Monday sent lawmakers a request for $2.5 billion to address the deadly Wu flu outbreak, whose rapid spread and threat to the global economy rocked financial markets. White House Budget Office said the funds are for vaccines, treatment, and protective equipment. This request was immediately slammed by Democrats as insufficient and came as Wu flu fears were credited with Monday's 1,000-point drop on the Dow Jones Industrial Average and increasingly seen as a potential political threat to President Donald Trump. I'm not sure how real that is. I mean, if the economy tanks, that's definitely going to be the death knell for Trump's reelection. But There's been a lot of bad decision-making at all levels, including flying back those infected people from the Diamond Princess. And Trump didn't do that. Trump was opposed to that. So was the CDC. So, anyway, Trump is having his press conference. It's not... Wait a minute. Here we go. Apparently, there is a shortage of the N95 masks. And Azar is ordering an immediate procurement of more of those. Well, I thought maybe that was going to be the press conference, but it doesn't seem to have started yet. Or if it started, Fox News isn't carrying it, which would surprise me. Now, Trump is saying the U.S. is very close to creating a Wu flu vaccine. Well, Trump can say that. But the reality is it's going to take a minimum of a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years to perfect a vaccine that actually works. Maybe they're going to take an existing vaccine and say, oh, see, this works against it. Buy it. Stick it in your arm. Remember, these are the same people who told us back in 2007 that the subprime is contained. Of course, the year after that, it all fell apart. So now they're saying Wu flu is contained. Mitt Romney is out there saying that the Trump administration is substantially unprepared for the Wu flu outbreak. And given Trump's statements on it, I would say yes. When you're dealing with something like this, when you're dealing with something that is bordering on being a true pandemic, you err on the side of caution. You don't kick back and say it's no big deal and hope for the best. And it's true that SARS was nowhere near as bad as people were thinking. MERS was nowhere near as bad as people were thinking. The When Pigs Fly flu from 2009 was nowhere near as bad as people were thinking. But sooner or later, something nasty is going to come along. It's an historical inevitability. And erring, you know, use the precautionary principle. Err on the side of caution. We don't know really what this is potentially going to do. A lot of the baseline information still hasn't been locked down. Nobody's really sure what the incubation period is. Nobody is really sure how many people are carrying this virus who are not displaying symptoms and don't go to the doctor and don't get tested. We just don't know. State of California has tested zero people for coronavirus. Remember, there's 8,000 people under self-quarantine up in San Francisco. All testing is being done by the CDC, which so far has tested fewer than 200 Californians. Even the movie Contagion, they were operating much more efficiently. You should get that film's director over here running the CDC. All righty. Hundreds of London Chevron workers have been sent home over fears of the Wu flu. San Francisco has declared a state of emergency. Mayor London Breed declares a state of emergency over the coronavirus amid intensifying worldwide concern about the spread of this new coronavirus. And it's going to ramp up the city's efforts to prepare for and confront potential cases. Now, to the best of my knowledge, nobody in San Francisco has it yet. But everybody's worried. San Francisco, major travel hub, especially for flights coming from China. And, you know, you go over to the airport and you look at the arriving flights. Planes are still coming in from Italy, from China, from Taiwan, from various hotspots around the world. The planes are still coming. Wu flu could be completely around the globe in 36 hours. We don't know because, again, we don't know what the incubation period is. There's one documented case of an incubation period of 27 days because they know who they got it from, and it was 27 days before they started showing symptoms. So a two-week quarantine may not be enough. Over in the European Union, officials are refusing to implement border controls to stop coronavirus. And especially the concern is Italy, where the number of confirmed cases in Italy has soared from 3 to 322 in the space of only 5 days, 10 deaths. But authorities insist that the Schengen area, which abolishes passport checks and border controls between the 26 European states, must not be compromised. Isn't it 25 now with Britain having stepped out? Well, no sign of a press conference yet. Now, this, in a very dark way, is kind of a humorous story because Iran's deputy health minister was on TV telling people not to panic over the Wu flu. And he didn't look well on TV, and people were saying, what the heck was going on? Well, it turns out he's now tested positive for the Wu flu. If your health minister is getting it, if your deputy health minister is getting it, then it's definitely gotten around here. Anyway, let's see. Despite some of the trappings of a modern society, Iran is still essentially a third world country, which makes them susceptible to epidemics like the Wu flu that's sweeping the world. Now, Iran insists that their lethality rate is 18%. China says it's 2.3%. Other countries with better medical care are saying it's somewhat lower. But 18% puts it right in the same ballpark as the 1918 Spanish influenza, which, of course, had nothing to do with Spain. All righty, let's see. They're talking about the Coors campus attack here. All right, let's talk about the international news here. U.S. troops are arriving in Germany for Defender Europe 20 military maneuvers, and it looks like the U.S. is getting ready to attack Russia. It won't end well. It will be the end of America and most of us who live here. Thank you, Donald Trump. Well, Trump is unfortunately going along with this war agenda, but it's not like he created it. We've seen this war agenda going on all the way back to 2001. And probably a little bit before then when they were saying, we need a new Pearl Harbor to galvanize popular support to go into Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and all these other places. Remember the project for the New American Century all during the 1990s? They were writing these policy papers saying, we're the only remaining superpower on Earth. It's time for us to start acting like it. Well, Trump is just going along with it, which he promised us he wasn't going to do that, but then he's broken so many of his campaign promises. So this massive transatlantic military exercise has gotten underway with over 40,000 U.S. troops and military vehicles expected to arrive in Europe. It's the largest U.S. troop movement across the Atlantic in 25 years. really, really serious about it. Okay, Turkey is reportedly positioning, or rather repositioning tanks closer to the Syrian border with plans to redeploy them into Idlib. Erdogan is vowing Turkey will not take a step back in Idlib. Them's fighting words there, buddy. Okay, now getting on back to Crimea. Russia is getting ready to build a billion-dollar highway to Crimea, and this is the next part of the $7.7 billion Road Links project, which is a highway, bridges, a rail line. And when Russians go on vacation, the two most popular destinations are Crimea and the Krasnodar region. Getting from one to the other has never been an easy task. Despite plans going back to 1903, it took until 2018 for a road bridge linking the adjacent destinations. It's Europe's longest bridge at almost 17 kilometers. Now, Moscow plans a $1.5 billion highway to dramatically cut journey times. The first section will be 68 kilometers long and is slated to cost almost $919 million, with the length of the entire route eventually reaching 119 kilometers. They're very serious about that. Russia's building roads. They're building bridges. We're building bombs. We're building napalm. We're building warships. Not very good ones, by the way. Israel's Netanyahu is threatening Gaza with all-out war if missile attacks continue. Now, here's the problem with that. We don't know to what extent the missile attacks coming out of Gaza into Israel are being done by agent provocateurs. And right now, Netanyahu could use an all-out war with anybody to bolster his re-election chances next month. So Israel will stop at nothing to ensure its security, goes the saying, and may well launch a broad military campaign against Gaza if the local armed groups continue with missile strikes. On Monday, there was another attack. Some 50 rockets were fired from Gaza at Israeli territory, 90% of them intercepted. Missile strikes were met with a harsh response, with the Israeli Defense Forces confirming on Twitter that multiple strikes against targets in Gaza have been carried out. Okay. Talked about the increase in drugs out of Afghanistan. The U.S. has now imposed sanctions on entities in Russia and China over support of Iran's missile program. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said earlier this month that Tehran did not need anyone's permission to continue boosting its military capabilities and developing its missile program. And no, he doesn't. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that Washington would impose sanctions on 13 entities in Russia, China, Iraq, and Turkey for supporting Iran's missile program. If Iran wants missile parts, they buy them from the good old U.S. of A. Except we can't make that kind of thing anymore. That's why our military and Boeing are having to buy rocket engines from Russia. All this arm twisting to get people to buy American, and we don't have anything to sell. And in the latest embarrassment for the military-industrial complex, our newest fast-attack submarine suffered structural damage to its stealth coating. The USS Colorado, which is a Virginia-class attack submarine, was photographed with large sections of the stealth coating, known as an anechoic coating, missing on its starboard side. This is basically these sound-deadening tiles. It's an outer skin. It's a sonar-absorbing material that is supposed to make the vessel virtually undetectable. But apparently, when the submarine is going at speed, these things will just peel off. Well, gee, how about, you know, we get some Gorilla Glue out there or something? And by the way, that is good stuff. I got some over the weekend. And if that anechoic coating comes off the side, then sonar can detect that ship, that boat. I'm sorry, they call submarines boats, even though some of them, the Ohio class, are like the size of a World War II aircraft carrier. All right, we're going to be back after these few words.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Hour number three, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So before the commercial break, we were talking about the Virginia-class attack submarine, the USS Colorado, apparently was returning from its first deployment, missing large sections of the acoustic tiles that are supposed to make it stealthy. So I don't know what it is with our military-industrial complex. And more than that, why are we not hearing Congress stand up and say, look, we're giving you guys so much money, why are you sending us this junk? You know, Harry Truman actually did that. Before he became vice president, before he became president, he made his fame on going out to these military contractors and saying, look, you're not getting any more money until you actually start producing the things that we need you to produce. You know, and this was at a time when we weren't even really at war yet. You know, we were providing stuff to Great Britain under Lend-Lease, which was a violation of our neutrality. And but yeah, he'd go on out and he'd say, look, we gave them all this money to build this factory and there's nothing but an empty lot there. Then we have the Zumwalt, which is very unstable, not as stealthy as they wanted it to be. The problems with the F-22 and the F-35, the Independence class and Freedom class littoral combat ships, they're going to scrap that whole program and start over from scratch. That's how bad that is. Huge, vast amounts of money just being wasted on all this stuff. Okay, so let's talk about the economic news here. Apparently, the 10-year Treasury yield has hit the lowest level in modern history. Culture Lakota is calling for a 25 to 50 basis point cut. And interestingly enough, Wells Fargo has now paid more in criminal penalties than it paid in interest to its depositors. I think there's a problem there. Definitely think there is a problem there. General Electric cut 78,000 workers in 2019 amid stabilization efforts to avoid bankruptcy. And it's too early to write an obituary for GE, but certainly this iconic American company, as are so many other iconic American companies, has stumbled toward the brink of failure after once being a darling on Wall Street. GE has been a corporate shipwreck for the last 10 years, where infamous Madoff whistleblower Harry Markopoulos warned in late 2019 the company's cash situation is a lot worse than the company's filings would suggest. Markopoulos said the accounting fraud that GE has conducted would be more significant than Enron and WorldCom combined. That is saying something. Shipping at the Port of Los Angeles is down 25% in volume. Supply chains are already starting to collapse now. There's warehouses full of stuff here in the country, except for surgical masks, apparently. But come April, you're really going to start feeling the pinch. The IEA is out there saying that the coronavirus may hit oil demand growth more than expected. And because demand has now dropped precipitously in China, they're flooding the market with fuel, because local demand is really down. And that's going to drive fuel prices down, which is good for you. But it's also going to put the shale oil companies in trouble. Over in New York City, hotel loans are defaulting at an alarming rate as room rates plunge and tourism tumbles. And I imagine that's probably true across the entire country. People are going to start staying at home. I saw an aviation map of China. You know, the number of aircraft in the air, that's way, way down. Way, way down. But getting on back to this story, more and more New York City hotels are defaulting on their mortgages, signaling an alarming trend in the industry as challenging market fundamentals and new supply act as headwinds for the industry. This has resulted in room rates declining and sites like Airbnb gaining traction in the market, according to The Real Deal. The main metric to watch is the average daily room rate, which has dropped in New York City to its lowest point since at least 2013, $255.16, according to STR. More than 22,000 new hotel rooms remain in the pipeline as well, which will further add to the supply glut and likely push room rates even lower. And then, of course, you have all those apps which find you an advantageous rate. When they're getting close to the evening and the rooms, they've got vacancies, they'll let them go for pennies on the dollar. Okay, Illinois is realizing it has no money in its so-called rainy day fund. They want to play catch up with the rainy day fund in what is likely the worst possible time. With 11 years of bull market behind us and a pandemic that's starting to make its way across the globe, it's only now that Governor Pritzker has decided he wants to help bolster the state's safety net. He'll be playing catch up to many other states who used the last decade to bolster their respective states' fund, meaning they'll take the tax money, they'll invest it in the markets, they'll make a profit. The profit goes into contingency funds, if not somebody's pocket. The Democratic governor is proposing putting $500 million from the state's surplus into a budget stabilization fund this year and then doing the same thing in 2021 if voters approve an income tax referendum currently before the state. Good luck. The fund was almost depleted in 2017. We'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
When all this twisted.
Okay, sorry about that. My mistake. The button got stuck. Anyway, welcome back to our show here, and they're just getting ready to crank up this press conference with Donald Trump and a whole bunch of CDC officials. So we'll see what he's going to say. Unfortunately, for some reason, the closed captioning has stopped working on our cable TV feed, so I can't read what they're trying to say. I'll try and lip read, but I'm not very good at that sort of thing. All right, getting on back to Philip Haney. Now, Philip Haney was this Obama-era whistleblower who blew the whistle on some unsavory things, and he was found dead of a gunshot wound to his chest near his car, and immediately it was all over the news. Suicide, obvious suicide, suicide, suicide. And I call that into question because the gunshot wound was to his chest, and by and large, men who commit suicide with a firearm will shoot themselves in the head because they realize the bullet going into the brain makes the death about as painless as you can get. Women tend to shoot themselves in the chest because they don't want to mess up their do. So the coroner for the Amador County Sheriff's Office in California criticized the spread of misinformation surrounding the death of Philip Haney, saying it's extremely premature. Okay. To deem it a suicide. Okay. Just give me a second here. RBN is telling me they have the feed direct from the White House website, and I'm asking if we can legally play it. Okay. So what happens is when Donald Trump comes on, we're going to have the live feed from the press conference as soon as Donald Trump shows up where he's not there. Have you ever noticed that when he does a press conference, he's always late? He wants the tension to build. He wants to make sure people are going to be paying attention to him. So until Donald Trump shows up here, skin on back to Roger Stone, and apparently the hearing is still going on. There has not been a decision yet one way or the other on a new trial, but they are questioning that jury foreperson. And apparently the juror has now been named Tomika Hart, and she's having to respond to accusations. She provided misleading answers about her political bias during jury selection, which Stone and his attorneys say justifies a new trial. And Hart said she stood by the answer she gave during selection and said she could fairly act as a juror in the case. She said in a written questionnaire at the time that she did not remember ever posting about Stone or other figures involved in the case. That was a flat-out lie. It's absolutely a flat-out lie. Okay. Apple and Tesla are under fire over a software engineer's fatal autopilot crash. The NTSB has criticized Tesla, Apple, and road safety regulators in the report from its nearly two-year investigation into the fatal crash of Apple software engineer 38-year-old Walter Huang. Huang was driving his Tesla Model X P100D SUV with autopilot drive assistant enabled when he crashed into a barrier on March 23rd, 2018 in Mountain View, California. However, it came out that because this guy was convinced the autopilot would definitely keep his car where it was supposed to be, apparently he was playing a video game at the time of the crash. Now, overall, I like the idea of the Tesla. If I had money, I would have one, but I would never use the autopilot. I absolutely would not use the autopilot. I think the technology is not yet robust. All right. Oh, there's Donald Trump. And we're going to try and get his audio. Okay. Apparently, the White House website.
Extend my deepest condolences to the victims and families in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Earlier today, a wicked murderer opened fire at a Molson Coors Brewing Company plant, taking the lives of five people. A number of people were wounded, some badly wounded. Our hearts break for them and their loved ones. We send our condolences. We'll be with them. And it's a terrible thing, terrible thing. So our hearts go out to the people of Wisconsin and to the families. Thank you very much. I've just received another briefing from a great group of talented people on the virus that is going around to various parts of the world. We have, through some very good early decisions that were actually ridiculed at the beginning, we closed up our borders to flights coming in from certain areas, areas that were hit by the coronavirus and hit pretty hard. And we did it very early. A lot of people thought we shouldn't have done it that early, and we did, and it turned out to be a very good thing. And the number one priority from our standpoint is the health and safety of the American people, and that's the way I viewed it when I made that decision. Because of all we've done, the risk to the American people remains very low. And we have the greatest experts in the world, really in the world, right here, the people that are called upon by other countries when things like this happen. We're ready to adapt, and we're ready to do whatever we have to as the disease spreads, if it spreads. As most of you know, the level that we've had in our country is very low, and those people are getting better, or we think that in almost all cases, the better are getting. We have a total of 15. We took in some from Japan, you heard about that, because they're American citizens and they're in quarantine. And they're getting better, too. But we felt we had an obligation to do that. It could have been as many as 42. And we found that it was just an obligation we felt that we had. We could have left them, and that would have been very bad, I think, American people. And they're recovering. Of the 15 people, the original 15, as I call them, 8 of them have returned to their homes, to stay in their homes until fully recovered. 1 is in the hospital, and 5 have fully recovered, and 1 is, we think, in pretty good shape. And it's in between hospital and going home. So we have a total of, we have a total of 15 people, and they're in a process of recovering, with some already having fully recovered. We started out by looking at certain things. We've been working with the Hill very, very carefully, very strongly. And I think we have very good bipartisan spirit for money. We were asking for $2.5 billion, and we think that's a lot. But the Democrats, and I guess Senator Schumer, wants us to have much more than that. And normally in life, I'd say, we'll take it. We'll take it. If they want to give more, we'll do more. We're going to spend whatever's appropriate. Hopefully, we're not going to have to spend so much, because we really think we've done a great job in keeping it down to a minimum. And again, we've had tremendous success beyond what people would have thought. Now, at the same time, you do have some outbreaks in some countries. Italy and various countries are having some difficulty. China, you know about where it started. I spoke with President Xi. We had a great talk. He's working very hard, I have to say. He's working very, very hard. And if you can count on the reports coming out of China, that spread has gone down quite a bit. The infection seems to have gone down over the last 2 days. As opposed to getting larger, it's actually gotten smaller. In one instance where we think it's somewhat reliable, it seems to have gotten quite a bit smaller. With respect to the money that's being negotiated, they can do whatever they want. I mean, we'll do the 2.5. We're requesting 2.5. Some Republicans would like us to get 4, and some Democrats would like us to get 8.5, and we'll be satisfied whatever it is. We're bringing in a specialist, very highly regarded specialist, tomorrow, who works actually at the State Department, very, very tremendously talented in doing this. I want you to understand something that shocked me when I saw it, that I spoke with Dr. Fauci on this, and I was really amazed, and I think most people are amazed to hear it. The flu in our country kills from 25,000 people to 69,000 people a year. That was shocking to me. And so far, if you look at what we have with the 15 people, and they're recovering, one is pretty sick, but hopefully will recover. But the others are in great shape. But think of that, 25,000 to 69,000. Over the last 10 years, we've lost 360,000. These are people that have died from the flu, from what we call the flu. Hey, did you get your flu shot? And that's something. Now, what we've done is we've stopped non-U.S. citizens from coming into America from China. That was done very early on. We're screening people, and we have been at a very high level, screening people coming into the country from infected areas. We have in quarantine those infected and those at risk. We have a lot of great quarantine facilities. We're rapidly developing a vaccine, and they can speak to you. The professionals can speak to you about that. The vaccine is coming along well, and in speaking to the doctors, we think this is something that we can develop fairly rapidly, a vaccine for the future, and coordinate with the support of our partners. We have great relationships with all of the countries that we're talking about. Some, it's a fairly large number of countries. Some, it's one person. And many countries have no problem whatsoever. And we'll see what happens. But we're very, very ready for this, for anything, whether it's going to be a breakout of larger proportions, or whether or not we're at that very low level, and we want to keep it that way. So we're at the low level. As they get better, we take them off the list, so that we're going to be pretty soon at only five people, and we could be at just one or two people over the next short period of time. So we've had very good luck. The Johns Hopkins, I guess it is, a highly respected, great place. They did a study, comprehensive, the country's best and worst prepared for an epidemic. And the United States is now, we're rated number one. We're rated number one for being prepared. This is a list of different countries. I don't want to get in your way, especially since you do such a good job. This is a list of the different countries. United States is rated number one, most prepared. United Kingdom, Netherlands, Australia, Canada, Thailand, Sweden, Denmark, South Korea, Finland. This is a list of the best rated countries in the world by Johns Hopkins. We're doing something else that's important to me, because he's been terrific in many ways, but he's also very good on health care. And we really followed him very closely. A lot of states do. When Mike was governor, Mike Pence of Indiana, they've established great health care. They have a great system there, a system that a lot of the other states have really looked to and changed their systems. They wanted to base it on the Indiana system. He's very good. And I think, and he's really very expert at the field. And what I've done is I'm going to be announcing exactly right now that I'm going to be putting our Vice President Mike Pence in charge. And Mike will be working with the professionals, doctors, and everybody else that's working. The team is brilliant. I spent a lot of time with the team over the last couple of weeks, but they're totally brilliant. And we're doing really well. And Mike is going to be in charge, and Mike will report back to me. But he's got a certain talent for this, and I'm going to ask Mike Pence to say a few words, please. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. President. President Trump's made clear from the first days of this administration we have no higher priority than the safety, security, health, and well-being of the American people. And from the first word of an outbreak of the coronavirus, the president took unprecedented steps to protect the American people from the spread of this disease. He recounted those briefly, but the establishment of travel restrictions, an aggressive quarantine effort of Americans that are returning, the declaration of a public health emergency, and establishing the White House Corona Task Force are all reflective of the urgency that the president has brought to a whole-of-government approach. As a former governor from the state where the first MERS case emerged in 2014, I know full well the importance of presidential leadership, the importance of administration leadership, and the vital role of partnerships of state and local governments and health authorities in responding to the potential threat of dangerous infectious diseases. And I look forward, Mr. President, to serving in this role, bringing together all the members of the Corona Task Force that you've established, HHS, CDC, DHS, the Department of Transportation, and state. This team has been, at your direction, Mr. President, meeting every day since it was established. My role will be to continue to bring that team together, to bring to the President the best options for action, to see to the safety and well-being and health of the American people. We'll also be continuing to reach out to governors, state and local officials. In fact, in the recent days, the White House met with over 40 state, county, and city health officials from over 30 states and territories to discuss how to respond to this, to the potential threat of the coronavirus. We'll be working with them in renewed ways to make sure they have the resources to be able to respond. And as the President said, we'll be adding additional personnel here at the White House to support our efforts on the President's behalf. We'll also be working with members of Congress to ensure that the resources are available for this whole of government response, and we'll be working very closely with Secretary Azar and his team that have done an outstanding job communicating to the public to ensure the American people have the best information on ways to protect themselves and their families, and also that the public has the most timely information on the potential threat to the American people. Mr. President, as we've been briefed, while the threat to the American public remains low of a spread of the coronavirus, you have directed this team to take all steps necessary to continue to ensure the health and well-being of the American people. And the people of this country can be confident that under your leadership, we will continue to bring the full resources of the federal government in coordination with our state and local partners to see to the health and well-being and to the effective response to the coronavirus here in the United States of America. With that, the President has asked me to recognize the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, and also the Deputy Director of CDC, Dr. Ann Schockett, for remarks.
Secretary? Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President, and thank you, Mr. President, for gathering your public health experts here today and for your strong leadership in keeping America safe. And I just want to say I could not be more delighted that you've asked the Vice President, my old friend and colleague, to lead this whole of government approach with us under the Emergency Support Function number 8. As of today, we have 15 cases of COVID-19 that have been detected in the United States, with only one new case detected in the last 2 weeks. We also have 3 cases among Americans repatriated from Wuhan and 42 cases among Americans repatriated who had been stuck on the Diamond Princess in Japan. The President's early and decisive actions, including travel restrictions, have succeeded in buying us incredibly valuable time. This has helped us contain the spread of the virus, handle the cases that we have, and prepare for the possibility that we will need to mitigate broader spread of infections within the United States. The President's actions, taken with the strong support of his scientific advisors, have proven to be appropriate, wise, and well-calibrated to the situation. We're grateful for the hard work that healthcare workers, first responders, communities, and state and local leaders have put into the response so far. Because of this hard work and the President's leadership, the immediate risk to the American public has been and continues to be low. Our containment strategy has been working. At the same time, what every one of our experts and leaders have been saying for more than a month now remains true. The degree of risk has the potential to change quickly, and we can expect to see more cases in the United States. That is why we've been reminding the American public and our state, local, and private sector partners that they should be aware of what a broader response would look like. CDC has recommended that the American public, and especially state and local governments, businesses, and other organizations, should refresh themselves on how they would respond in the event that the situation worsens. We're encouraging Americans to learn what future steps might be necessary to keep themselves and their communities safe. Knowing these potential steps now can help keep the risk to you and your community low. Americans can find useful information at cdc.gov/COVID-19. And we're working closely with government and private sector partners to educate them about preparedness. Finally, we've begun working with Congress to secure the funding that we need. There are 5 major priorities in the White House request to Congress that the White House made on Monday. These priorities are, first, expanding our surveillance network; second, support for state and local governments' work; third and fourth, development of therapeutics and vaccines; and fifth, manufacturing and purchase of personal protective equipment like gowns and masks. As chairman of the President's Coronavirus Task Force, I'm committed to providing regular updates from our coordinated interagency process. We've had our top public health leaders, like those joining me here today, speaking to the media many times per day to inform the American public. The Trump administration is going to continue to be aggressively transparent, keeping the American people and the media apprised of the situation and what everyone can do. With that, I'm going to hand things over to Dr. Ann Schockett, Dr. Shukat is the senior career official at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the principal deputy director, with an over 30-year career at the CDC in public health and as a member of the United States Public Health Service Commission Corps. So, Dr. Shukat, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks so much, Mr. Secretary. As you know, this has been a difficult and challenging time, and our hearts go out to the individuals who have been directly affected by the virus and to all those who have been working tirelessly in responding to it. Our aggressive containment strategy here in the United States has been working and is responsible for the low levels of cases that we have so far. However, we do expect more cases, and this is a good time to prepare. As you heard, it's the perfect time for businesses, healthcare systems, universities, and schools to look at their pandemic preparedness plans, dust them off, and make sure that they're ready. And we have lots more information at the CDC's website and in partnership on how to do that. But it's also a really good time for the American public to prepare and for you to know what this means for you. The coronavirus that we're talking about is a respiratory virus. It's spread in a similar way to the common cold or to influenza. It's spread through coughs and sneezes. And so those everyday sensible measures that we tell people to do every year with the flu are important here. Covering your cough, staying home when you're sick, and washing your hands. Tried and true, not very exciting measures, but really important ways that you can prevent the spread of respiratory viruses. So this, the trajectory of what we're looking at over the weeks and months ahead is very uncertain, but many of the steps that we have taken over the past 15 years to prepare for pandemic influenza and our experience going through the 2009 H1N1 pandemic of influenza remind us of the kinds of steps that our healthcare system, our businesses, our communities and schools may need to take. We're in this together, all of government, the public and the private sector, and the CDC wants to make sure you have the best information available every day. Thank you.
I just want to give you a very quick update on the My name is Dr. Tony Fauci. I'm the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH. Just a very quick update on the countermeasure development in the form of vaccines and therapeutics. I had told this audience at a recent press briefing that we have a number of vaccine candidates and one prototype one to give you a feel for the time frame of a vaccine and what its impact might be now and in subsequent years. Is that I told you we would have a vaccine that we would be putting into trials to see if it's safe and if it induces a response that you would predict would be protective in about 3 months. I think it's going to be a little bit less than that. It's probably going to be closer to 2 months. That would then take about 3 months to determine if it's safe and immunogenic, which gives us 6 months. Then you graduate from a trial, which is phase one of 45 people, to a trial that involves hundreds, if not low thousands of people, to determine efficacy. At the earliest, an efficacy trial would take an additional 6 to 8 months. So although this is the fastest we have ever gone from a sequence of a virus to a trial, it still would not be any applicable to the epidemic unless we really wait about a year to a year and a half. Now, that means two things. One, the answer to containing is public health measures. We can't rely on a vaccine over the next several months to a year. However, if this virus, which we have every reason to believe it is quite conceivable that it will happen, will go beyond just a season and come back and recycle next year.
Okay, case, I'm sorry. We're going to have to pull away from the press conference now because we're at the end of our program. Please stay tuned for John Stadtmiller's program. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. And please spread the word about RBN. Please spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We need your help to stay on the air and to keep on doing this. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.